We have many members in one, but all the members do not have the same function. So we be many are one body in Christ and individually members of one another, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us. Let us use them in prophecy. Let us prophesy in proportion to our faith, our ministry. Let us use it in our ministry. He who teaches in teaching, he who exhorts in exhortation, he who gives deliberately, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness, behave like a Christian. Amen.
Amen.
Great to be with you again today. My wife Karen is not abroad today, but not with us. She's preaching down at Stanborough today. So if you want another good sermon today, you can always tune in afterwards, can't you, and hear what she has to share there. So we want to especially welcome those that are watching online, Auntie Joan and others. It's always good to have you out there. And it's lovely to see new people in church today with young families, and I must say, it's great as well to see Patricia back again from her trip to Africa. It's lovely to see you. And a couple of weeks ago, I preached on 1 Corinthians 13, the first in a relationship series. And today we're going to be continuing that. And if I can make sure I've switched on my PowerPoint button, then hopefully that will all work. And what we're looking at is this whole thing of building relationships and understanding relationships. This week is the start of the GC Marriage and Family Week. And this week, I guess if you go into Tesco's or any of your shops, you will see that there are lots of cards out, and they tend to be pink and red at the moment, don't they? And lots of red roses are around. It's that time of year where romance is in the air. National Marriage Week is always going from the 7th to the 14th of February. And the core thing about a successful relationship, especially in a marriage, is that we appreciate each other and our differences. In the Christian church, we take very seriously what was given to us as a promise in Joel, that the God of heaven says, and I'm reading from the Living Bible, says, after I've poured out my rains again, I will pour out my spirit upon you all. Your sons and daughters will prophesy, your old men will dream dreams, and your young men will see visions. And I will pour out my spirit even on slaves, men and women alike. This promise was fulfilled at Pentecost. It's a promise that I believe that we should still be claiming today, because it says very clearly that no matter who we are, God has given spiritual gifts to us. It doesn't matter what gender you are. It doesn't matter how old you are. It doesn't matter what ethnic origin that you have. Each spiritual gift demonstrates the purpose that God has for our lives. You see, there are different gifts, but there is the one Spirit. Different spiritual gifts, but there is the one Spirit of God that distributes them to all of us. Just as there are different types of service in the church and in our community, but we serve the one Lord who has given them. There are different activities, but it's the same Spirit that works within us all. You see, it's probably worth defining the spiritual gifts, and I'm going to be getting on to the passage that was shared with us this morning by Blessing in just a little while. But there are both gifts and passions. And that is that you may have the gift of, say, teaching, But it may be that you have a passion for teaching Sabbath school. And it might be adult Sabbath school. Or it may be that God's given you a passion for teaching children's Sabbath school or any other area. You see, we need to have both of those related to one another. You see, the gifts that God has given are always given in the context of the church. And that's why when you read about the spiritual gifts in these three key passages in Scripture, that you'll find that they're always given in relationship to ministry within the church. And the fact is, as we talked about 2 weeks ago, love is the basis of what we do. So, it might be worth recognizing, as I was talking about gifts and passion, that God has designed us, each one, with a unique gift. In case you hadn't picked up, that's what the children's story was about. That if we are to try to emphasize that everybody should have the same gift, it is absolutely futile. But in order to find out what your role, your ministry is within your family, your community, within this church, it's good to recognize these five different ways of determining what your spiritual gift might be. First of all, you need to know what the spiritual gifts are, and we're going to be listing them in a little while. We heard some of them in Romans 12 this morning. But then the heart is the passion, in a sense. What is it that God is building as something that's really important for you? I know somebody who said, actually, my passion is not just communication, but it's actually learning how to communicate with deaf people. And what they did was they learned Makaton, they learned language, you often see them on news programs and in some of our larger churches. These people will be communicating everything that happens in a graphic way using a language I don't understand and know. But they use their hands to help deaf people, people who are hard of hearing, to be able to understand the word of God. Now, not everybody has been given a heart for deaf people, but for those who have, that is a way that they can use their spiritual gift of communicating and evangelism and teaching. Then the third area is the abilities. You've probably at school at some time suffered through a teacher who perhaps did not have the gift of teaching. You know those teachers? You know, they thought they would be good at teaching, but it didn't quite work out. And you're just bored, or you just don't understand what they're trying to say. And so you have to have some ability, but you also have to have a personality that goes with it. For some ministries and some gifts, you've got to have a lot of patience, you know, personality. Some people are busy people who don't have patience so much, but they're great at innovating things, all right? Your personality comes into this. But also experience, because you can't get up at the front or tell anyone, I've got the gift of teaching, and you've never taught a Sabbath school lesson, or you've never tried to teach a child. It may be an idea that you think, perhaps that's something I need to try, but confirmation comes with doing. And so the Bible gives us some great examples of people who had, for instance, like Joseph. He had an amazing gift of administration. Yes, he may have had the gift of prophecy as well, but his gift of administration was used in many different settings, whether it was leading out in the prison, until eventually he was called to be the prime minister of Egypt, wasn't he? Who was able to save that country from famine. The gift of administration is incredibly important. It might be boring for other people. Tell you the truth, as my elders have found out, you know, the gift of administration is not my gift. But I have to do it. And this is the case with a lot of us, is that we all have different gifts that we are blessed by, but that doesn't mean, for instance, we'll come on to the gift of mercy or the gift of helps. That doesn't mean that these other gifts are unimportant and we shouldn't use them when the opportunity arises. The Apostle Paul, he had an amazing range of gifts, didn't he? A gift, he was called to be an apostle. You know what an apostle is? Someone who has seen and experienced the presence of Christ and gone out and witnessed. He had the gift of evangelism. He says that I may be all things to all men. And that is something that some of us find very hard, isn't it? Because in order to evangelize well, you've got to know and connect with the person that you're trying to speak to. There's no point in speaking English if the person doesn't stand English. There's no point in being didactic and being logical if the person is primarily an emotive person, someone who needs to hear from the heart what you believe. An evangelist is someone who is able to get in and, by the Spirit of God, a gift that God has given them, can be able to speak into those situations and change their approach, not change their message. You know, the core message is the same. The one true God we worship is the same, but the way that you communicate it is going to be very different. I don't know if you've heard of Bezalel and Oholiab. I'm not very good at pronouncing their names. You may have heard them pronounced in different ways before. Have you ever heard of these people? They're Old Testament characters. Indeed, at the time when Moses was appointing people to do things, he said, these are the two people who are craftsmen. They are artists. They are people who know how to work in silver and gold and fabric. And they were incredible. And of course, what was the most important job that Moses gave them? It was to build the tabernacle, a place where the presence of God was symbolized among them. And so these were the artists, the crafty people, in the best sense of the word. And they are also given spiritual gifts. Indeed, it's the first mention of spiritual gifts in Scripture. The challenge, of course, is that our individual uniqueness can distract us. And what's so important is that we have to embrace diversity, not only in the family of the church, but also within our own families. If you have children, you know how they are all different from each other. And it's important to celebrate and encourage those differences. And yet when it comes to making friends with people, somehow we often only want to be friends with people who are a bit like us. Diversity is to be embraced. Because that's what Jesus did when he appointed the disciples. He didn't appoint all people like John or Peter. He appointed people with varieties of gifts and abilities and characters. And finally, when we get to heaven, the book of Revelation tells us that we will be united around the Lamb's throne. All of these different gifts are leading us to exalt the one God of heaven. They are designed, these gifts, to unite us, not to separate us. And what we need to do is to celebrate those gifts and to reflect that unity in our marriages and in our church families. So, what's your role? What's your responsibility? We're going to be going over this list of gifts, and I'm hoping that you'll be thinking, which one of these gifts is the area of my strength that's been given by God for me to use, to share the good news? Ministry, these gifts are for all people. And what I really love is that Paul doesn't say, well, actually, the gift of leadership is for the men in the church. And the gift of administration is for those who are secretaries, who are women. No. You know, God gives gifts, not according to gender, but gifts according to his will. And we are to recognize them. In 1 Corinthians 12, we have these nine gifts that are given. That is the gift of wisdom, knowledge, faith, healing, miracles, prophecy, discernment, speaking in tongues and interpretation of tongues. Whereas in the passage that Blessing read for us today, she talked about the gift of prophecy, ministry, teaching, exhortation, giving, that generosity, leadership, and mercy. Now the challenge is that when you hear that list, you will have different ideas as to what they may mean. I don't know if you can tell from this cartoon what's going on, but the teacher at the front of the class says, I'm going to teach you about what a lemon is. And so she says, a lemon is a yellow fruit that grows on trees. And so what's the first student on the left thinking? Oh, that's a banana. And the middle one, okay, yep, that's a lemon. And the one on the right is thinking, that's a grapefruit. They're all true, aren't they? They're all yellow fruits that grow on a tree. But we've got to clarify what these spiritual gifts really mean. And so I will just go through this quickly, and if you want to do further research, I'd be very happy to help you on this. The gift of being a missionary is a special gift given to the Holy Spirit, by the Holy Spirit, to certain members of the body of Christ to minister whatever other spiritual gifts they have in a second culture or a second community. Now, it used to be that you used to have to travel abroad to be a missionary. But the truth now is that here in Hemel Hempstead, we've got multiple different cultures. And you can be a missionary without having to go more than a few miles away in order to share the love of God with different people groups that are among us. The gift of healing is a special gift whereby the Spirit employs for certain Christians to restore the health and health to the sick. And we've had miracles in this church, haven't we? Where we as a church have come together to pray and anoint. And this whole church has been part of that gift of healing. And there are sometimes special people and individuals who know they have that gift. The gift of intercession is really important. That special gift whereby the Spirit enables certain Christians to pray for extended periods of time with great positive effect for the building of the kingdom. Sometimes people are stuck at home and they don't have anything else they can do. I invite them to say, look, you may not be able to get out of your house, but could God have given you the gift of intercession? And it's not just for the stay-at-home people. Sometimes it is a passion that some of us are given to have the gift of intercession, to minister on behalf of someone else in the great battle between good and evil, that individuals, children, teenagers, members of the church that are going through difficult times and trials, that they will have the wisdom to know how to pray in the right way, to be able to encourage them. The gift of craftsmanship, the special gift whereby the Spirit endows certain Christians to use hands and minds to build up the kingdom through artistic, creative means. You'll find more about that in Exodus chapter 28, as we were referring to earlier. Then we have hospitality, the gift of opening your home willingly to offer perhaps lodging and food for those that need it, and do it cheerfully. The gift of faith, the special gift whereby a Christian provides Christians with extraordinary confidence in God's promises, power and presence, so that they can take heroic stands for their future of God's, for the future of God's work in the church. Then you have the gift of discernment, the special gift whereby the Spirit enables certain Christians to know with assurance whether some behavior is of God or of Satan. And then the gift of mercy is a special gift. It's one of my favorites. Whereby the Spirit enables certain Christians to feel exceptional empathy and compassion for those who are suffering, so that they devote large amounts of time and energy to alleviate it. Then you also have the gift of giving, generosity, to enable people who, you know, we all call to be generous, aren't we? You know, to give our tithe, to give our offerings, to give our time. But sometimes people have that gift of liberality, and they're able to give beyond what they would normally be able to do, to sacrifice sometimes. That's why they economize, so that they can give more to others. The gift of administration is that special gift whereby the Spirit enables certain Christians to understand the goals of a given segment of the church's ministry and to direct that area effectively, keeping the church on course. I thank God for the administrators that complement my lack of administration in our church. The gift of leadership is a special gift whereby the Spirit enables certain Christians to motivate, direct, and inspire God's people in such a way that they voluntarily and harmoniously work together to do God's work effectively. You thought the job of a leader was to get up at the front and say, "This is the vision, this is what we've got to do." Perhaps the role of a leader is to be able to sense God's working through various people and encourage them and strengthen them in their calling. The gift of helps is the gift where we willingly bear the burdens of other Christians and help them in such a way they can do their tasks more effectively. The gift of serving is very similar to that, where you know or recognizes the unmet needs of some people and implement plans to meet those needs. The gift of knowledge is the special gift whereby the Spirit enables certain Christians to understand in an exceptional way the great truths of God's words and to make them relevant to the specific situations that individuals are going through. And that's often connected with the gift of teaching as well. Then you have the gift of wisdom, a special gift for the understanding of God's will and work as it relates to the living of real life. Exhortation, whereby we stand alongside fellow Christians at times of need and bring comfort and counsel, encouragement, so they feel helped. And I love the music gift. We are blessed by it in our church every Sabbath. And there's various forms of that gift. And we need to appreciate all of those. But we haven't finished. The gift of teaching, I think we've talked about already. Pastoring, it's a responsibility for the spiritual welfare of a group of people. The evangelist, we've talked about already as well. The prophet is not so much looking into the future, but it's more to do with interpreting and applying the revelation that God has already given into a given situation. And the gift of apostleship we've already talked about. So we have all of these different gifts, but what are your roles? The first thing is that no matter what gifts you have, believers are called to service. And when you know what gift you have, it doesn't take long before God reveals to you the ministry he has called you for. So if you're new to this church, if you don't have an active ministry in this church or any other community for that matter, let's listen to what Ellen White says about how these gifts are practiced. Christ's method alone will give true success in reaching the people. The Savior mingled with men as one who desired their good. He showed his sympathy for them, ministered to their needs, and won their confidence. Then he bade them follow me. Spiritual gifts are all about helping people to follow Jesus Christ by engaging and doing what the people need to build a relationship, because that's what spiritual gifts are there for. You know, when you think about the choir, for instance, that we have, I love the Hemel Singers, and every time at the end of a service, and they practice three times a month, not on the second Sabbath, and I see the group growing, and you think, yes, it's about singing. Yes, it's about doing a special song for Easter, and I just rejoice. But what happens is that people get to know each other as they sing together. It's about building the community. The same with the food bank. It's about getting to know the others and supporting each other in your various roles. So, what happens then when you develop your spiritual gifts? You will worship and glorify God because you are fulfilled through service. And you will also build up and edify the church, which God loves and God wants us all to be part of. As we said earlier at the beginning of the sermon, God has promised that he will pour out his gifts to all of us. And he will pour it out on men and women alike, because what he wants to do is to make each one of us a wonderful instrument for his service, that this church will flourish and grow as people are called and ministered to and provided for as we love one another. So rather than putting down one another for the personalities and the gifts and passions that we have, in our homes, in our families, I would like to encourage you to start affirming one another's gifts. So when you see somebody doing something, you say, perhaps I want to thank you for the gift of God's administration that he's poured into your life through the Spirit. Or if they're showing acts of mercy, or if they are good at teaching, it needs us to affirm and to encourage them. Because perhaps, rather than them just trying to be a Sabbath school teacher and not doing very well at it the first time, they will perhaps, rather than waiting and discovering that their spiritual gift needs to be practiced a little bit before it will be refined, rather than then, like the animals in the story, being forced into a mold where they've got to practice all the other spiritual gifts rather than the one that God has specifically given them to work in, then our church, if we can affirm one another and recognize these gifts, we will be part of building up this body of Christ. In our own families, with our children, we will be able to thank God for the way those gifts are given by him, and they bless us. They bless us in our families, they bless us in our church. And it's my prayer that you will be experiencing that blessing as you discover those spiritual gifts for yourself. And not only discover them, but practice them. Let us pray. Father God, so often we are